So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Welcome, everybody. It's the week before the 4th of July show, and that means it's going to be a big show like we do the week before the 4th of July. Every year, we have a good big show, Les.
And what are we going to do the week after the 4th of July?
We're going to have another good big show. We always do that.
We're not having a show next week, right? Is that what you told me?
No, there will be no show next week. I am going to see some fireworks if it kills me. I've been working in radio for 8 years, and you know DJs, they don't get holidays.
Yeah.
They work Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve. I have not seen fireworks in a long time, and this year I am going to see some fireworks.
Welcome to my world. You know, I wrestled for 20 years. We don't get, you know, guess what? The biggest shows we did were on Christmas.
Right.
Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes.
I'm well and full aware, but this
year... You're singing to the choir here, baby.
This year, we're going to see some fireworks, damn it.
You know what? I don't know. I'm getting old, I guess. I really don't, you know, care. if I miss fireworks or I don't, you know, it's cool. I'm not very patriotic anyway. I'm not, you know, when I see the price of gas and my taxes and... medical insurance and all that. Don't
bring me down.
I'm sorry.
Started the show.
I thought currently, instead of "In God We Trust" on a dollar bill, maybe it just should be "Bend Over America." I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but hey, what can I say? Well, you know, I'm going to start this off with kind of a downer, but it's...
Before we do get to that, I do want to announce to everybody that our guest tonight, and I didn't get time to tell you this, Les.
Well, you probably didn't.
but Wildcat Chris Harris, of course, is going to be on the show tonight. He's from TNA's America's Most Wanted, yes. And D'Lo Brown's going to be on the show tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
All right.
Just talked to D'Lo just a little bit ago, and we set it up, so it's another surprise... not advertised guest 2 weeks in a row.
My adopted son. Yes.
Yes, your adopted son. We're going to get into that story. I want to hear all of this. I saw some strange emails. But,
well, if he asks for money, tell him he's making more than I am. He's got to support his dad. Honestly, I've been on kind of a bummer over the weekend. Luke Graham passed away last Friday.
Yes.
Gracie Luke Graham. And, you know, I never worked with Luke in the business, but Grady Hamilton, which is his real name, Grady Calhoun, we started together. I started about a year ahead of him in Boston for the same Tony Santos for the small promotion in Boston. And I saw his very first match, I mean exactly that, his very first match. And the reason I remember it so vividly, it was the night before my first wedding. November the 18th, 1961, in Brockton, Mass., which, for those who are into trivia, is the home of Rocky Marciano, at the old AOE Hall. He wrestled a guy named Frank Shields, who went on later to be Bo Belinsky in AWA. My mom and dad were up, of course, for the wedding. With nothing to do on that Saturday night, we drove up to Brockton to watch Grady's first match. He was anything but crazy, just a very nice guy, very quiet, nice guy. The cool thing, a bunch of us, and I'm going to try and get Pat Patterson on because the crew that was there in 60-61 are fading fast, and with the exception of Pat and I, there are a couple guys I'm not sure about, and I think everybody's pretty much gone. But young guys always sit and talk about, you know, their idols, the future, this and that and the other thing. And Grady, of course, as I've said here before, I was a huge Nature Boy, Buddy Rogers, Mark,
right.
And still am. I mean, he was one of the very best ever. But Grady was a huge fan of Dr. Jerry Graham. And I saw his first match. Like I say, I never worked a territory with him in terms of in the ring. Worked out with him at the Santos Gym in Boston. But anyway...
No, Dr. Jerry Graham, now, I might be getting my doctors confused, but isn't he the one that they made a TV series about him?
Not that I'm aware of.
The Fugitive?
What?
The Fugitive?
No. No.
Am I totally off here?
Sam Shepard.
Dr. Sam Shepard, that's
yes,
it. Okay.
I never wrestled him, but I met him, yeah. Yeah, well, that was from Cleveland. He was from Cleveland. I know. Dr. Jerry Graham, was he a legitimate doctor? No, I understand. You know, I no, he wasn't.
Right.
But he was the thing that started the Graham line of, well, Eddie Graham was really Eddie Gossett.
Right.
He wrestled as Jerry's partner. They were one of the huge... riots in Madison Square Garden that almost stopped wrestling in the gardens years ago. It was Argentina Rocca and Miguel Perez against Jerry Graham and Dick the Bruiser, I think.
Mm.
And they had such a riot with Hispanics and stuff that the commission, honestly, there was talk for a while of actually shutting down wrestling in Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
But out of the Jerry Graham, there became... You know, superstar Billy Graham, Eddie Graham, and Crazy Luke Graham.
Yes.
But that's what I was going to say. I saw Luke's very first match. Got married the next day. My wife and I left for a honeymoon, and then I came down here into Cincinnati, and in '62 went to work for Barnett Doyle, based out of the Indianapolis office. But it was a couple years, you know, and back then realized, guys, all you youngsters, no cell phones, no internet, so it wasn't like we kept in touch.
Right.
And we were living in a rooming house at a time, paying about $12 a week up there. He was living at the Huntington Avenue YMCA, so it wasn't like we had phones in our rooms either. Couldn't afford that kind of stuff. So anyway, hadn't talked to Luke to Grady in a while. Picked up a Wrestling Review magazine, and that was the PWI of its day, and I saw this on the cover, this face that looked familiar, but it had a beard and blonde hair, and it was next to Jerry Graham. It said the Graham brothers, Crazy Luke, or Dr. Jerry and Crazy Luke, and I thought, damn, that's Grady Hamilton.
Uh-huh.
And it was so cool because, you know, again, his, you know, he was a big mark for Dr. Jerry Graham, and then he later was lucky enough, and I say lucky as a young man, he probably... maybe he didn't think it was lucky later on because Jerry was a wild man. But anyway, to become, you know, that would have been like me becoming Les Rogers or, you know, Buddy Rogers' his working brother, as it were.
Right.
But anyway, that was, I just was so cool to pick up that magazine and say, my God, Grady is now Jerry Graham's partner. And he'd always talked about, you know, he was such a big fan of Dr. Jerry Graham. But anyway, Luke was a good guy. And just a sweetheart, soft-spoken guy, not at all like the gimmick, and he passed away last Friday.
Yeah.
Sunday, Harry Elliott, who I never met, but Harry promoted in Seattle for years up in the Northwest, Upper Oregon, it's promoting for the Donovan's promotion out of Portland, passed away over the weekend at 101 years of age.
Wow.
Had he survived to August the 17th, he would have been 102.
Man.
So,
I wish I had lived that long.
well,
I'm hoping.
You know what? How old are you now, Doc?
I'm 31.
Okay, well, see, and I'm 65. And there's days that I think, you know, the funny thing is I still work out, and I can't eat halfway right, although I should be on a diet right now and slimming down a little bit. But people say, I have some friends who I grew up with, and we get together once in a great while for lunch or something. They'll say, especially when I was bodybuilding. What, do you want to live to be 100? I said, hell no. The first half century was so friggin' tough. Do I want another 50? Are you ribbing me? Absolutely not. You know, the mystique is gone, brother. Take my word. And see, and I'm 34 years older than you are. So the mystique's gone, Doc.
Yeah.
I, I don't want to. I mean, I'm not ready to die today or tomorrow, but I, you know, as long as quality of life's here. But no, I don't know. I had a great aunt lived to 105.
Wow.
And the wild thing was, you know, of course, a lot of people have Alzheimer's stuff. She would reminisce. There were times that when I was a child, it was fascinating to me. She would talk about this little girl pounding, washing clothes by pounding them out on a rock in a creek bed. You know.
Right.
But yet, if you'd been to visit her 24 hours before that, she wouldn't remember that. You know, but she could reminisce. She could go back, you know, 90 years and remember things. It was just fascinating to me.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, Lucas passed away, and that was one of a crew of guys. Real quickly, and again, a lot of the young guys listening to us probably wouldn't remember. Alex Medina was there. Pat Patterson, of course. Terry Garvin. Ronnie Dupree, Golden Boy Dupree, who later worked with Chris Cold as one half of the Hell's Angels. Rufus R. Jones. Don Black Magic Kindred, Johnny Mann, all those guys have passed away.
Wow.
So, yeah.
There was a lot of sites reporting that Grady Hamilton's real name is Grady Johnson, though.
Was it Johnson? Yeah. Okay. Well, then Calhoun is the name, and why Tony Santos dubbed him Calhoun, I have no earthly idea, except maybe because of Calhoun, Georgia, or I don't know.
Could be.
Yeah, but Johnson, Hamilton, Calhoun, whatever, you know, great guy.
Yes.
Oh, and I forgot another guy, Haystack Muldoon was a product of that same gym at Santos.
Ah, yeah.
And he's since passed away as well.
Yes.
Out, and I don't mean this in a sarcastic way, out with the old, but in terms of in with the new, Ted DiBiase's sons are going to debut July the 8th for Harley Race on his World League Wrestling show in Eldon, Missouri. They're named after their father and their grandfather, Teddy and Mike. And so, of course, Harley's history with the DiBiase's goes back to the fact that he tried to save Mike DiBiase the night he died of a heart attack in a ring in Texas. Harley was the one that tried to revive him. And Teddy's career kicked in pretty heavy. This is the Million-Dollar Man I'm talking about now.
Right.
In St. Louis, for the old Sam Muchnick NWA promotion there, he and Harley wrestled a 60-minute draw, and that was one of the things that kind of catapulted Ted, you know, into the higher. In fact, at one point, I know there was talk around in the NWA at some point putting the world title on Teddy DiBiase. Anyway, his sons have been training at Harley's Wrestling Academy in Eldon, and they get their first shot with their dad in their corner on Saturday, July the 8th in Eldon. It's a nice little center. If you're in that part of the Eldon, Missouri, it's a great little place, right on the Lake of the Ozarks. And Harley always puts on a good show. It's wrestling, so a lot of the young guys probably wouldn't want to go. They won't see any tables, bare asses, or anything like that.
No midget ass.
They'll see wrestling holes. It's scary. Yeah, it's called wrestling. And but yeah, Harley puts on some good shows. So anyway, Teddy.
Sounds good.
Yeah, Teddy's kids are breaking in. What, TNA pulled a 1.1, which is, I don't know what it's room for celebration, but everybody seems to be. I mention it because I read it a lot, okay? Why it's supposed to be exciting, I don't know. But
well, here's the thing about this. The 1.1, this was for the June 22nd edition. This is up from the point 08, or the point 8, excuse me,
yeah.
Rating that the show did the week before. But that number's kind of skewed because the show was bumped an hour later. They had the NBA Finals that night. But it's also up from 2 weeks ago, which was 1.0. But here's the kicker on this one. Last Thursday's show had a higher male demographic and had the total viewing audience a new record of 1.4 million viewers, and that's a new record for TNA.
Uh-huh. Well, good. If it equates into dollars and cents, and if it doesn't, then who cares?
Well, it's a good sign this early.
Well, you know, that's I did watch more to see my friend Jimmy Cornette's promo, and he still has it. The problem is, I hear it, and here's a spoiler, close your ears if you don't want to hear it. that he actually has to hand the belt back to Jarrett, which we'll see this Thursday night, which scares me because the here's my thing. You know me and logic, right?
Yes.
Okay, if Jimmy is allowed to carry out everything that he said in that opening promo on the show last Thursday, I'm in his corner.
Right.
But if he has, but somebody has to give me a really strong logical explanation why Jarrett was handed the belt back.
Yes.
And otherwise, I'm down on it. Okay.
Yeah. If he has the power, he has the power.
You know what? And this wasn't in anybody's news, or not specifically, and not pointedly anyway. But the WWE pay-per-view and Raw, there have been a lot of bad matches in 2 days' time. I mean, I don't know if it's any kind of record. I don't know, frightens me, saddens me, I guess is what I'm trying to say, is when two guys that were such big stars in this business over the last 30 years, Flair and Foley, go 7 minutes and do two falls in 7 minutes. That's sad.
That is
freaking sad.
But a little bit later on in the program, after our first guest, we're going to get fully into the pay-per-view. We're going to run down that, who won the prediction game from last week, and we're going to get into Raw because I have some comments, and I know you do, Les.
I'm going to stop playing because actually being in the business 46 years has nothing to do with comic books.
No.
And stupidity. And I got to see ECW last week. All right, I saw it. Now we can talk about something else. it was there. When I say at the main event, I thought it was strong. You know, it was a good match, the tag. It was there. I saw it.
The thing that got me about the main event last week on ECW is that all four of them were WWE products.
Well, sure.
And I know that they're trying to use the WWE guys to bring in, WWE fans, of course, and people who don't remember ECW and don't remember these guys. But the old guys that were in ECW, like Balls Mahoney and Justin Credible, they're just getting walked over.
Well, you know what? See, here's the other thing about our business. Sadly enough, it chews people up and spits them out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like decaying meat hanging in the storage room. When you're done with it, you pitch it out. Everybody's got a value up to a certain point, and who was the author that says you can't go home again?
Mm-hmm.
You can't go, and you can't.
Right.
And David Shear on PWI calls it the WWECW.
Yes.
And so do I. At this point. I know this is going to distress you, Doc, because I know you're a connoisseur of fine young women. But
yes,
poor Kelly, and believe it or not, I've been to a few topless strip clubs in my time. If she's a dancer, I'm God, okay?
Yeah.
There was nothing sensuous. And you know what the other thing is, and if any of the young guys in the chat room are listening, please tell me if you honestly believed you were going to see it all. I mean, this is not a tease that's been going on for a week or a month or 3 days. This is a tease that's been going on for how many years now?
Right.
And if you're tuned in for that, then I got more than two words for you. You're a freaking idiot, okay? My point is she is a very attractive young lady. She may have a talent. Dancing is not it, okay?
Right.
She's 19 years old.
Right.
But why wouldn't you teach this girl to actually do something constructive within the framework of what you're trying to do, and use her sensuality, her beauty, for something other than. To me, it's very sophomoric. I guess I am getting to be old because it's like, okay, it just didn't do anything for me.
Right.
It just really didn't. And we're going to get into Raw and. Has DX burned out their everything they've got so far?
We had
a good comment from the show the week before. You want to get wrestling over, you show as many male asses as you possibly can.
Yeah.
My question, and you can all think about this, who in the Raw staff questions their own heterosexuality? That they had. I mean, I'm sorry. Again, I can be as vulgar and slow down in the locker room talk as anybody. I spent 46 years in this business. But on television, I'm so tired of penis jokes and toilet jokes. And again, it's very, I'm not in grade school any longer, and it doesn't excite me, okay?
Right.
And I feel sorry for Jerry Lawler. At his age, if he hasn't seen a naked woman yet, I mean, God, Jerry, get a life.
He hasn't seen it live on TV yet.
Get a frigging life. You know, no, I mean, it's boresome to me, and honest, and quite frankly, insulting, because I am, not because I'm a fan, but because I am in the industry, and I understand what it should be and what it's not, you know.
ECW is now listing their roster as the Extremists.
I know.
Yes. The roster was originally listed as Superstars, then Wrestlers, and then Rebels.
Well, we wouldn't want to call anybody in professional wrestling Wrestlers, you know. I wouldn't dare call a baseball player somebody in the National League a baseball player.
Yeah, but
God forbid, you
can't trademark the word Wrestlers, though.
You know what? I don't care.
You could trademark Extremists.
Do I give a shit? No, I don't. Well, I heard Flair use the word wrestling and wrestler last night, and I thought, God, will God strike him dead?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
But he can get away with it because of who he is.
Yes.
The Rock popped a hamstring, or a Achilles tendon, getting ready for his movie up in Boston.
Yeah, he just got out of surgery on Friday.
Yeah.
He had his Achilles tendon reattached after suffering the injury filming his latest movie, which I cannot remember the name of it right now, which it should be telling. But according to reports, he was told he could start training right away. Which would, of course, limit it to upper body training.
Well, he was supposed to start shooting Monday, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's playing an NFL quarterback in the movie
right.
And was just doing getting ready to play the part the right way, I guess. So, obviously, they're going to put the whole deal. You know, I was thinking, God, in terms of cost, you know, that's going to be phenomenal, too.
Yes. Have you heard about this one, Les? It should remind you of the good old days. A report from the ECW house show on June 24th in Philadelphia at the former ECW arena have stated that a fight broke out when some John Cena fans were jumped by some ECW fans.
I love Dreamer and Heyman, and I have no bitch with Paul.
Right.
But the ECW fans, and I met a few, and they're nice people, but in that environment, I'm not sure I want to deal with them either.
I was afraid to go to ECW shows when they were running in Philadelphia. I was afraid to go there and sit with the fans. I did not want to do that.
Some of those guys, and I forget, they used to have the first, it's being around the first rows, came down to, we used to have a Smoky Mountain fan week,
mm-hmm.
You know, when Cornette had Smoky Mountain in Knoxville, and they would come, you know, and I sat and talked to them, and they're nice people. It doesn't take me back because years ago the fans used to try to fight the wrestlers, not each other.
Right.
And, you know, it's amazing. I, as you do know or don't know, I used to drag race. And I remember over at Indianapolis Raceway Park, over there we ran at the Nationals several times in the 60s when I was still racing. And at the NHRA Nationals, which are run over Labor Day weekend. And I remember that, I guess it was during Superstock or A-Factor Experimental or whatever it was, but it was like Ford fans and Chevrolet fans got into a fight. You know, and I thought, oh, my God.
Right.
I mentioned sophomoric earlier. Let's back it up and mention again. It's just like, come on. You know, I don't even see the value of that.
I wonder if they're proud of that. They're like, you know, I'm a John Cena fan, and I fought for what was right last weekend.
No, you're an idiot because you fought at all. I mean, it's like, come on. You know, if you have to actually get into a physical confrontation with somebody, make it for something that makes sense.
Yes, that's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, really. Yeah. I guess they got a mixed reaction there, and I think they're going to get a mixed reaction. And I think, you know, from what I understand, Paul and Dreamer both said, you know, hey, it ain't the old, it's not the same, and it's not going to be the same.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. That's as it is.
Absolutely not, but it was a good, it was a good improvement, I think, from first to second.
Yeah.
The lighting was really well done, I think, on the second show.
Right.
It looked a lot smaller. It looked a lot more homey.
May I say that I think a dark arena, I don't care if it's 20,000 people or 200, adds more atmosphere. It gives the I think this has been proven over and over and over and over and over. Fans will tend to get into the show. They will tend to get vocal more if they're not as, you know, of course, in this day and age, everybody brings their sign and cleavage and want to get on the air.
They want to be on TV, yeah.
But years ago, actual wrestling fans weren't interested, and they would get more vocal a lot of times, you know, if it were darker and they weren't seen.
Right, because...
But I still think there are people that probably go and would get more into it in that respect. But to me, that's wrestling, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a problem with the music. I don't have a problem with the pyro. I don't have a problem with all the fancy lights and all that. I just don't like a full lighted arena. I think it takes the effect away.
Yeah, it really does, and it really gave off a good effect and a good look last week. And hopefully things will improve week to week. We'll see, you know, what'll happen tonight right after our show.
And I saw the Sandman's entrance. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay, and the Randy Orton character. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at least it wasn't a zombie, right?
Exactly.
I mean, and everybody said this show was head and shoulders better than the first one. I thought, God, I'm glad it didn't. I mean, not that this, and don't get me wrong, I don't mean it was a bad show, but it was just a show.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Yes, but the first show was god-awful.
Yeah.
You have to admit it. I mean, it was.
I didn't see it because I was.
Oh, that's right. You didn't see it.
I was traveling, yeah.
You're lucky.
Well, that's what everyone says.
It was horrible. I was so upset. During the entire hour, I was just mad, but I couldn't stop looking. It was like a train wreck. But, yeah, it was pretty bad. Guys, we're running out of time for the news. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Wildcat, Chris Harris, America's Most Wanted, TNA, he's going to be here. And, of course, we've got the pay-per-view Vengeance review. Find out who won the prediction game. We've got Raw review coming up. And, of course, D'Lo Brown going to be on the program in just a little while. Stick around. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back after this.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Here's the latest news and information on total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Hi, my name's Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taken place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. A lot of good stuff still to come in the program. Right now, the good stuff is on the line from America's Most Wanted. TNA, it's Wildcat, Chris Harris. Chris, I want to thank you for being on the program tonight.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me. That's a great introduction, too. Keep it up.
Good stuff. I'm thinking, Doc, are you into guys and you're not telling us?
Yeah.
Why?
It's a good interview, sir.
Okay.
We're on the line right now.
Let me start with this negative thing. If any of you fans listening recall, last time Chris was on the show, I had bought him a beer in Tampa, and he was going to buy me one. Well, I'm still hell waiting for my beer.
Hey, I'm pretty stingy with my beer, man. I ain't going to cough it up that easy.
He's been hanging around James Storm all this time. He's got to watch his beer.
All right.
Yeah, see, he plays the drunk on TV. I can play it in real life.
Yeah. Now I want to get into that because it seems like on TNA right now, they're trying to give James Storm a little more character by having a beer bottle with him, using it as a weapon, things like that. But they haven't really given you anything like that, but you seem to be the more popular out of the two anyway, like naturally. Why is that?
Well, because I'm easy to love, man. you know what, though? A lot of the credit should go to Storm himself because they haven't really done anything, man. It's just, you know, with the character change and, you know, the heel run that we're doing, it's like, you know, Storm was just able to show a little bit more of his personality, and, you know, I don't know if it was, you know, we just got a little bit more airtime, or we can just be more ourselves now, or what, but, you know, it's just, he really shows a little bit more of his personality out, and, you know, that's, a lot of times that's really how he is in real life, so, you know, it's good for him, though, because, you know, before he didn't really show much of anything, you know, it's sometimes people would look at us, I guess, just, you know, kind of bland for both
of
us.
Yeah, they'd be like, there's Chris Harris and that other guy.
Yeah, that other guy. I was reading that you guys probably have held the NWA tag team titles for a longer stretch than in recent history than anybody.
Yeah, it's funny because at the pay-per-view, you know, we were putting the match together and everything. Mike Tenay and Bob Ryder looked it up, and they said I guess the furthest back they could find was like 1970, I think it was. And they said that we had the longest reign. I think we just beat it by like a week. It was 8 months and a week, and I think the other longest was like eight months and a few days or something.
Of course, you know, back then in the territories, there were never more than one version of the HWA heavyweight title, but there were several versions of the tag title. Dennis, a wrestler named Dennis Hall, who probably a lot of people have never heard of, and myself had one version for a while in 68 out of the Nashville territory. But they were... Like on the West Coast, I think at that time, the Sharp brothers, Ben and Mike, had one version. And I guess there were actually probably, you know, two or three more like regional versions, but everybody called them the NWA World Tag Team Belts.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure exactly which ones they looked. I mean, I just look at it as, you know, the old NWA.
Sure.
You know, back, you know the Rock and Rolls and the Horsemen and you know, all those guys, which, you know, to me, that was even a shock because I thought back, you know, back in those days, you know, the 80s, you know, the title runs were a lot longer.
Oh yeah,
it was that was shocking. But yeah, hey, I'll take it. My place in history now.
Well, sure. Well, you know, and I think honestly, that's part of what built put steam on you guys, whether it's his heels or baby faces, because I think right now, well, it's not TNA, it's not WWE, it's every. I mean, it's just like when you start hearing, well, these guys had 17 title runs. These guys had. Who cares? I mean, it's like it dilutes it, you know?
Right. No, I'm back, you know, back when, you know, I'd rather have a longer reign than be able to say, you know, hey, I held it 17 times or we, you know, so I'm
sure.
Pretty happy with it. We've had it six times and, you know, now we have the longest reign. So, you know, I'm pretty happy with what we've accomplished.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's like when I was first breaking into business in 1960, Thez had won the world title five times, and everyone thought that was just huge. I mean, that was nobody. I mean, I think maybe twice was the only thing even close to that at the time.
Yeah.
You know, and now Helmsley's been the WWE, you know, God knows how many times. But, I mean, the Flair thing, I think, is even diluted as 16 times. I mean, you know, solid back when it meant something, I'd say maybe eight or nine would at the outside, and the rest of them were just, you know, quick changes. But that's... I think that's part of the problem. The belts don't hold the meaning that they once did.
I've always been a big believer in that, man. I mean, yeah, that's which is a big reason why I was happy with you know what we did on at the pay-per-view. You know, it meant something to be you know to drop them.
Sure.
You know, because the longer the reign, man. I mean, the more it means. You know, if you're just switching it, you know, every other week or every pay-per-view, it just loses all its meaning. So. I'm big on that, man. I'm pro longer reigns, and then you know, have it mean something when it does switch.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, I know there's going to be chat room questions and stuff. One of the things that we didn't talk about last time you were on, but the guy that really gave you your foundation, started you, was an old timer named Charlie Fulton.
Oh yeah.
How did you first hook up with Charlie? Because you live in Northern Kentucky, and he's up in Central Ohio. How did you first come across him?
Man, I started from nowhere. I had no idea there was anything any even in Cincinnati. You know, I didn't know Roger Ruffin at the time. I didn't know you. I had no idea. I just started, you know, making any kind of contacts I could.
Right.
And I wound up getting hooked. I met up with a guy in Dayton, Ohio, which, you know, nowadays I look back, he was probably just some, you know, goof promoter kind of thing. But,
right.
But, you know, I found his name, thought it was a big deal, and went and met with him. But the one thing he did smarten me up to, you know, because I'm thinking I was one of those stupid people that thought, hey, I'm pretty good, you know, when I wrestle with my friends, so I could probably just go ahead and step in the ring. And he told me to know you need to go to training. You know, I remember I even asked him, I said, well, what if I'm already okay? If I'm already pretty good, do I really need to go? And, you know, and I catch myself doing the same thing now. You know, it's like if people think they don't have to go to training, I want to knock them upside the head.
Right.
And, you know, it should be required. So anyway, he's the one that hooked me up with Charlie. He told me about a great school in Marion, Ohio, and I made a phone call and drove up there and met up with him and watched one of the sessions. And I guess I went through a little bit of a pre-workout or something like that. And they told me how much it was. I was going to save up. They told me to gain some weight, and went back home, worked for a year, and saved up my money, and went back.
Yeah, Charlie, and for those who listen and don't know, Charlie Fulton was a journeyman mid-card guy. Crazy, makes me feel old because I remember when he was a kid, first working with him. But anyway, he had trained with, helped Larry Sharp. Well, some of the guys might remember him from when WWF first started getting nationwide in the early mid-80s. But it was actually what he could, didn't he call it the Monster Factory Midwest or Monster Factory East or what was it exactly?
Yeah, the way I understood it was there was the Monster Factory, and it was Charlie Sharp and then one other guy, and I can't remember who it was. And then I guess, and you may know this better than I do, I guess the three of them kind of broke out and to do their own school because, and then you know, Charlie was one of them. That's what he went, and I, from what I understand, the Monster Factory had a great reputation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, so that's, you know, and I did look into it, and I figured, you know, Charlie, you know, good quality training. So, that's
all right. Have you had contact with him in recent years? Do you know what's happened to him, or?
No, man, nothing at all. In fact, when I was training, you know, he had something to do with his job, I think, but he didn't even finish it up. He worked side by side with another guy named Kid Collins, and who was about 30 minutes from Marion, and I kind of, you know, probably half the time I was with Charlie, and then the rest of the half I was with Kid Collins.
And I never saw Collins. I talked to Collins on the phone. I've seen tapes of him. I never met him. But, yeah, he's, I wouldn't say a lad, but he's like a veteran independent guy in Central Ohio, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if he still works or not. I haven't kept in touch with any of those guys in a long time. And I'd say it's been over a year, but it was kind of cool. I had it on my website. I had an email from Kid.
Oh, yeah?
And I guess, you know, I don't know if he watches wrestling or whatever it is, but, he sent an email and told me how proud he was of me. It felt really good that, you know, he kept up, so.
Well, you're talking about putting on weight. Now, you were a lot smaller when I first met you. What did you weigh when you and I first met, and what do you weigh now?
Oh, brother, I could not tell you what I weighed then, but I was, you remember, I was a toothpick.
You were a basketball player.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I always had the height, I guess, but even with the height, you know, people would always tell me I'm too small, there's no way I'd make it. And, you know, and Charlie was, he was right there and said, you know, gain some weight, you know, because I told him I wouldn't be able to do it until I'd saved up and came back. And he said, well, you know, gain some weight in the process. And, you know, I started hitting the gym, and I don't know what I was, but I was thin. And right now I'm about 245.
Yeah.
So.
But, you know, I think that's how you mentioned it, that, you know, the difference in when you were a naive young guy and being a veteran now about guys training. But that's part of it, too, and you must hear this when you work independent shows. You see these guys that are 135 pounds or guys that are sloppy fat saying, well, I don't understand why nobody's using me. But you understand, and they don't pay any attention to it, right?
No, and you can't really explain it to them, man. I mean, it's like you almost have to go through it yourself. You know, I go any of these shows, and you see guys, and, you know, and even when one of the guys that you know or the promoter will say, hey, man, take a look at this kid. He's really good. And maybe they are really good, but the thing is you have to look like an athlete as well.
Right.
And these guys, you know, if you don't have the dedication to you know, get your ass in the gym, and, I mean, at least nobody said you had to look like a bodybuilder. But
right.
If you, you know, just get in some shape and, you know, look like an athlete, you know, I mean, how can these guys go around calling themselves a professional wrestler when they, you know, they look like some bum on the street.
Well, you know, in my clinics and the camps that we run around the country, one of the things we try to explain, look, this is not just a business, a physical bit, but it's an image business. It's like if I pay $50 to go see the Indiana Pacers and find out that I'm taller than the biggest guy, hell with watching, I want to play. And if I can't, if I buy a ticket and sit ringside and look up in the ring and think, well, I can whip his ass, then part of that illusion is gone that I've paid to actually, you know, for you to give me that illusion.
Right.
That's perfect. I mean, that's exactly what it is. You know, I mean, you gotta. you don't want the fans thinking things like that. You know.
Right.
Especially in this kind of a physical business.
Exactly. Exactly.
So
Doc,
I'll
jump in here anytime you want.
I was just listening to you two and.
Me and Les could talk for hours.
Yeah, I started losing my place there. Rhode Island Red has a question from the chat room. He wants to know, did you always want to be a wrestler? Did you watch a lot of TV wrestling when you were growing up?
I started watching it maybe about 84.
And
oh, you were a Hogan baby.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to say I was, you know, I grew up on, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, because, I mean, I've seen a lot of old tapes that, you know, a lot of people talk about and I hear stories. But yeah, I got into it about then, and I became a fan, you know, just a kid sitting in front of the TV on Saturday mornings and, you know, watched it for years. And I did, I mean, I was pretty obsessed, but I never thought that I would actually get into it. Yeah, it was a passion, and I was obsessed with it. And, you know, in high school, I did the whole, you know, wrestling in the backyard with your friends and, you know, putting on your matches, and I did all that. But, and I guess in a way, I thought that, hey, this could be really something I want to do. But I, you know, once I graduated high school, you know, you get all the pressure, you know, go to college and, you know, get a major and go find a career and all that kind of crap.
all that BS.
Yeah, it just wasn't for me, man. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, that's the right road for a lot of people, but for me, I spent 2 years in college, and the entire time I was there, I concentrated more on wrestling than I did my school. So, you know, I guess I was about, I don't know, 21 at the time, and that's when I decided, you know, hey, if I'm going to do this, I need to do it now.
Right.
And, you know, that's when I actually started looking into it and got serious. And I think everybody telling me that I was stupid and couldn't do it actually made me want to do it more.
Yeah.
I had the same feeling when I got ready to go to Boston and, 1960 to start my training. I know my friends, you'll be home in 3 weeks. You'll never, you know, and that's my old Irish head. I said, no, I won't. Even if I die up there, I'm not coming home.
Right.
Because you say I am, you know.
Were you, I don't remember, it was 1984. I guess it was really cool back then to like wrestling. But a lot of times, a lot of people get some flack for it now. When I went to school, it was all right to watch wrestling, but people, kids today that go to school, and it's just kind of not looked at the same way. When you were in school, was wrestling really big and popular with classmates?
No, I don't want to say it was at all.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I guess that was one of the big boom periods, you know, the 84, 85,
right,
you know, run. So, you know, wrestling, I guess, to the wrestling fans was really popular, but it, you know, it wasn't the normal thing. I mean, it still isn't, you know, but people still kind of knock it, and you know, at the time they did too, especially when it comes to family, you know. And if I'm telling them I'm doing that, they're thinking to themselves, good Lord, you know, we've let him watch it all these years, and now he actually wants to do it. So,
right.
Like you're addicted to drugs or something. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They probably just thought it was a phase I was going through. And, but I mean, I don't know. You know, it's you can't really explain when you have a passion for something like that. You just, or the drive. You know, there's only one way to go, and you don't know how to turn around.
Right.
And that's really all I did. It didn't matter how many obstacles I hit or how many people told me that I was an idiot and that I was never going to make it. And it was just, you know, I think it kind of made me bitter in a way, because now, you know, now that I am where I am and everybody wants to come back and say, hey, man, you know, that's great, great job. I almost want to look at them and say, you know, go screw yourself, you know, because you weren't here before. But, it, you know, you don't, I don't want to get like that, but you can't help it. You know, in the back of your mind, it's like, you know, when you do it all by yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you don't really come up with any support, you know, and then all of a sudden everybody comes out and says, hey, you're doing a great job, you know, I knew you could make it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, right, you did.
they want to ride the gravy train when you're up, and when you're down, they say, I told you so, you'd
exactly.
never do it.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they would do it now, if it was over tomorrow. I mean, if you know, my career stopped tomorrow, people would be like, you know, my dad or, you know, everybody would be like, well, I told you to get a real job.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's Lawler told me a couple years ago, we were talking, that his mother, now stop and think about how long he's been in the business, and his mother still says, are you ever going to get a real job? Yeah.
That's crazy. The story goes, though, Chris, that you were a big fan of the Hitman, Bret Hart.
Big fan. Huge.
And you use certain maneuvers as a tribute to him. Are you still doing that in the ring?
At times I do. He was more of a, like, like growing up as a fan, you know, I looked at some of them, you know, they're like superheroes. So, I mean, I had my favorites.
Right.
Bret became a favorite of mine, like, as I was getting into the business. Like, once I started learning more about it, because I respected so much of his work.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I guess, you know, just, he was just cool to me. I mean, he was just, you know, he was awesome. You know, I liked his look. I liked his moves. I started to really appreciate his work. And see, as I got into it, there was a, you know, I patterned a few things, you know, after him, and I always studied his matches and that. I used the sharpshooter for a lot of years. I haven't so much in recent years, just because
I know Petey Williams likes to do it, and you know, just out of respect, you know, with the, whether he's Canadian or whatever the case is, it's just that's if that's one of his main moves, then I'll back off of it. So, but no, there's a lot of similar in our styles, I think, with me and Brett.
There's a question in the chat room from Stevie J. He says, Chris, I remember you getting a solo push a couple of years ago, and it looked like you were a strong contender for the NWA world title. Whatever happened to that?
Whatever happened with that? I'd like to know myself. I mean, it was that. I had a blast with that, man. I had a good run with Jeff, and, you know, had the big, you know, built up for the big title match, and then it ended with a guitar to the head.
Wow.
But no, that was fun, man. It actually really boosted my confidence, to be honest with you, because and Les knows this, you know, the majority of my career, I've always been a singles wrestler. And, you know, when you get your first big break, you know, you always think, you know, hey, I want to be a singles star.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally accepted the fact that, hey, I was making my name as a tag team wrestler, and you go, you know, a few years like that, you kind of lose it, like, hey, you know, can I still do it in singles? And when they gave me that opportunity, you know, I had my matches, like I had a great match with AJ, Raven and I actually had a really good match, and, you know, Jeff, I mean, I was, you know, standing toe-to-toe with those guys, and the thing is, people were actually buying it, and which made me feel good, because they actually bought me as a contender. And I was just, you know, I was just a tag team wrestler, and here these people actually were believing that I was going to be Jeff Jarrett for the world title, so... It really boosts my confidence as far as knowing that I can still go in singles.
Yeah, that brings up the next question from get this, Les, Nurse Young in the chat room.
Nurse Young. All right.
Are there any plans to break up AMW?
Now, if there was, would I let you guys know?
I have to ask anyway. I always have to ask, so people will say, you didn't ask them. but, of course, things are looking... Like there may be a little tension between them. We're going to have to watch TNA and see what becomes of that.
Do you, let me throw a question out. Well, that brings one to my mind. Obviously, you and James are going to have to move on to work with somebody. Do you have any idea what the next team will be that you guys will have any program with?
No, I really don't, man. I know we got another month with AJ and Daniels. I had been pushing for a while to get a program going with the James gang. I was really wanting to work with Billy and Brian.
Right.
But I think the direction went more with AJ and Daniels, and you know, now that the belts are gone, I'm not really sure what direction we're headed, but we might follow up on that tension.
You know, everybody talks about X Division when it comes to TNA, and of course, you know, Joe as you know, with the heavyweights. But honestly, TNA, if you like tag team wrestling, you're gonna, you know, that's where it's really been. Push more like it used to be. I mean, pretty much WWE in all three of their companies is basically just a throwaway thing. And I think where they make the mistake there is, we're talking about the history of the business. At a worst case scenario, you build a good tag team division and it strengthens the middle and upper middle of your card, and it just makes the card deeper in terms of interest, I think.
I think WWE is really, I mean, they just don't believe in the tag teams anymore, which is a big reason why, you know, when we had an offer to go there, we didn't want to go because we felt that, you know, we'd probably get a little run, a few month run, and they'd split us up.
Yeah.
And, you know, look at us now. I mean, we've been together 4 years. How many teams can you think of, like maybe I'd say within the past 10, 15 years that have been together that long?
Right.
Well, sure. So, and that's what's astounding. I mean, when you think of you or Jane, you think of the team. Which,
right.
I mean, which is not a bad thing because it gives you, I mean, it's a foundation to play off of.
No, and I'm okay with that. I mean, I want people to do that. But the thing is, too, it's like I think since we have been together so long and we have made such a good mark for ourselves that, you know, maybe the first couple years into it, people were looking at it like, okay, when's Chris and James going to start for you? When are they going to break up the team?
Right.
Now, I don't even think it enters people's heads, to be honest with you.
Right.
I think we've been together so long and successful that it's like it's not even in their minds that AMW would ever break up. So when it does, like we were kind of saying before, Les, about the title reigns, I mean, now it would actually mean something if we did it.
Yeah, I'm just going to say my background is being involved in booking just started clicking in. I think now would be the ideal time. I think that's the biggest problem too.
with WWE, for example, Psychosis and Crazy. They barely have had a cup of coffee in the company. I mean, they've been there a while, but they haven't been featured, and they haven't been out there every week.
Right.
And so now they work a breakup, and it's like, okay, it really doesn't mean anything.
No, it means nothing, man. You can come up with, I mean, we could come up with so many examples of them doing that. I mean, I don't get to watch the shows that often. I really don't care to be honest with you. I mean, anytime I do get to turn it on, I watch 10 minutes of it, and I'm thinking, why the hell am I watching this show?
And you think, I love TNA.
Yeah. But there are times where, you know, I'll see a tag team on there, and okay, maybe, you know, they put these guys together, and then, you know, I might not see it for another month, and then I turn it on, and they're fighting each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the hell just happened? I mean, what did I miss?
Yeah.
So
Yoshi has a question. He says, what are your memories during your short time with WCW?
I have a lot of good ones with them. I mean, that was my first step into the big time. I remember being very frustrated, because I went in working with the security gimmick, and there were so many guys that they rotated to do that. That a lot of these guys are just, I mean, they belonged on the indie circuit, and so they looked at it like it was such an awesome thing to be there, and they were just happy to be there and getting paid and that. Well, for me, I'm watching all these other guys, you know, make a name for themselves, and I'm back here with a security shirt, and I was just frustrated because I wanted to be out there, I wanted to move up and do something. So, a lot of it I watched from the, you know, from the side. I'll just see what was going on and see what to do, what not to do, and you know, it was the last year they were in business, so you know, a lot of things were going downhill, but. But I mean, it was a great start. It was a great start. I had some fun times with that, and you know, I have some great memories from it.
Excellent. Indie Guy says Harris was advertised for IWA Mid South 2005's TPI, but you were a no show. He wants to know why you weren't there.
I don't even know what the hell that show is.
There you go, Indie Guy.
I will say this. I mean, I've never just no-showed a wrestling show.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like, you know, if I give somebody my word, I'll be there. So either I didn't know about it or, you know, I mean, Les can back me up on this. How many promoters are out there that will, you know, advertise somebody and they haven't even spoken to them?
Yeah, I was just about to say this particular promoter has done that on one or two occasions over the last 10 years, advertising people that he knew weren't going to be there to begin with. So there's a good case that might have been what happened.
Yeah, I think
the TPI is the Ted Petty Invitational, I believe.
I mean, Ted Petty obviously does, but I don't remember anything about the show, and I definitely wouldn't have no-showed, so I don't know. I don't know what the case is.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, well, I don't have the greatest memory to begin with.
Right. TNA for Life says, do you still talk with Kid Cash?
Do I still talk with Kid Cash?
Yeah.
I ran into him in Nashville not too long ago, a few months back, and caught up on a few things and had a great conversation and told him, you know, I was happy for him. And he actually apologized for just how bitter he was in the company and that, so...
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, it's so funny, man. I can't do an interview without somebody bringing up Kid Cash.
Really?
Yeah, but, no, he's cool, man. I mean, it's, you know,
got through it, too.
You know, talk about frustration, Chris. He's gone from one type of frustration to another type.
Is that Cash?
Yeah, the paycheck may be a little better, or I don't know if it's the same, but, like, I haven't seen him and Jamie Noble, but, you know, Jamie was with me for a year. Hell, that's got to be a strong team, and I have yet to see the light of day of them on TV.
Yeah, I don't really know what's going on. I did hear that they were going to team them guys up, but I don't really know. Last time I talked to him, he couldn't have been happier. So,
yeah,
we'll just go with that.
Question from the chat room. When is the next time you'll be at USA Championship Wrestling in Nashville?
I don't have a date set yet right now, but, you know, I've always been really tight with Bert Prentice. And I know he's been running weekly again, and I told him I'd come down and help him out any chance I got. So I'd say I go down there maybe once every couple months.
Has he started running again?
Yeah, he started running weekly again.
I'll be damned. This makes Bert's 4,000th reincarnation of his promotion or something.
Oh yeah, yeah. He'll try it every he'll try something new every few months. But he's always been good to me. So anytime he needs me, I'll be there.
Excellent. Chris, I want to thank you for being on the program. I didn't know if you were going to make it or not. I was scared.
Well, yeah, we had a little confusion last time. That was my fault. My travel schedule was messed up, and I believe I was on a plane at the time we were there. So I do apologize for that. But
that's absolutely okay.
Hey, Chris,
we got a chance to do it now.
I'll keep the beer cold. When you find a bridge to get you across the river, give me a call.
I need to come find you first. I'll bring the beer. I got to find you first.
All right. Well, I'll give you the phone number when we get off the air, and you give me a call. We'll do it.
That sounds great, man. I'll be looking forward to it.
All right, good.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Chris Harris here. Don't forget, guys, check out TNA, Total Nonstop Action. It's Impact every Thursday, of course, at 11 p.m. Eastern. On Spike TV. Check that out. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got, of course, the pay-per-view Vengeance wrap-up. We've got some Raw talk to get to. And, of course, we've got D'Lo Brown coming up. Stick around, guys. We'll be right back. You're listening to Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and Les Thatcher.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hi, my name's Adam Nudelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Doc Young, Les Thatcher back with you, Wrestling Weekly, guys. Well, yes. It's time to check out the results from the Vengeance pay-per-view, Les.
All right, you're always anxious to get to that, I know, because
yes.
You win so often.
I'm just the pay-per-view prediction master.
I had heard that. In fact, you were the one who told me, as a matter of fact.
But, first off, it was Eugene versus Umaga.
Yes.
And, well, there's not much to say really about the match. It was a pretty much a squash match, and Umaga beat up Eugene, and everybody came along with him except for Kamala. They wanted to save that for Monday night.
It was Umaga versus Eugene and a cast of thousands, right?
Yes. Eugene brought all his 80s buddies with him. Umaga ended up winning. You and I knew that, being the smart guys that we are.
Yeah, right.
We both picked Umaga, and we each got a point for that. Then there was Kane versus Imposter Kane, which we're going to also get into. The story goes that you could hear crickets during that match.
Well, you can't. I'm going to tell you what. If you put two big guys, and when I say this, Glenn Jacobs, I admire and have so much respect for. You know, when he was with us in Smoky, he was, you know, well, let's say just getting his start. He'd been around a little bit, but not a lot. And I know how he dedicated himself to get to the point he's at.
Right.
And he was getting some stupid gimmicks along the way too.
Yes.
You know, but he's worked his butt off, and he deserves anything he gets there. But to me, here again, it's called common sense. Damn it, you don't put him with a guy who's slower and less mobile.
Yes.
You know, you give him somebody that can move to give him the appearance of movement. And it's not that Glenn is immobile totally, but part of his character is to act like he's big.
Yeah.
Right?
And he's big and
yeah, whatever I said. But he's big and immobile. But see, that, I mean, so you book the thing and you sit back and wonder why it ended up this way. Well, if you understood the business you were working in, you'd know why it ended up this way.
Mm-hmm.
There was no other way for it to end up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, that's... And when I say this, it's not like I'm a visionary or not. It's just, again, it's called common sense. Try using some. It's an amazing antidote to a lot of things.
Yeah, and in this instance, you might as well skip over to Raw for a second and say that, you know, Imposter Kane defeated Kane pretty handily at the pay-per-view, and the next day, all of a sudden, Imposter Kane has no strength. He was totally decimated, thrown out the door, had his mask ripped off. That screams, get me out of this angle, guys.
Yeah, you know,
the angle's over.
Like I say, I when I say this, obviously I don't know what they're thinking or what's going on behind the scenes. You know, you can only surmise, but... It's like me. How tall are you, Doc? As an example,
5'8".
No, it's all right. Well, it's hey, I was a little taller than you when I was young, but of course, you know, you shrink as you get older anyway. But
right.
Anyway, my point is, okay. I just signed Doc Young to a basketball contract. He's 5'8". Yeah, okay. And then I'm surprised when I find out you can't dunk.
Right.
Well, hell, if I had any brain at all, I would have known that before I ever signed you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's what I said. That, you know, again, I realize I'm looking at this as somebody who spent my entire adult life in this business. And they're just things, and you've heard me say this a trillion times, that should never change. And using common sense should be one of them. I don't give a damn if it's Vince McMahon, Jesus Christ, or one of the 12 apostles. You are not going to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
It don't work. There are certain things that are as they are. And I don't give a damn if it's 10 years from now, still the basics of this business and logic and common sense are still part of it, you know. And so the only people that are surprised that this didn't work out are probably the people that booked it.
Yes.
You know, and here's one of the things that I'm going to say. You know, again, let me put this in a category that I have no bitch with Vince McMahon. My relationship with Vince over the years has been, I mean, I've never had a crossword with the man. Even when they pulled our developmental contract, they did me right on the way out, which, you know, they better than actually what the contract was worth. So what can I can't, you know, it's not a personal, I'm not pitching.
Right.
But I think that these people spend too much time making Vince laugh and not enough time actually worrying about what the hell the fans think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't give a damn who it is, what company it is, or what it's about. That doesn't make the product any better. You know, but if you've got the only game in town and a relative sense, they do. You know, I mean, yes, there are other, but the other companies aren't competitive. at least not at this point. I may get an argument with somebody, but I think the numbers will bear me out. You know, so then you can do all the stupid stuff you want.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know if I'm going to tell you I'm an artist, I'm not going to sit and scribble with Crayolas.
Mm.
You know, I'm going to try to do something that proves that I actually am an artist.
Right.
You know, and I just think that if you were going to tell me you're the only, well, excuse me, not the only professional wrestling company in the world, the only sports entertainment company in the world, then show me. You know.
Yeah, and I think at the pay-per-view, they really had something planned to further this angle. And last night, when Kane beat the Imposter Kane and then threw him out the door, that was WWE's way of saying, get me out of this angle. It was an embarrassing angle, and I think that they didn't mind if people were a little confused or it didn't make any sense as long as they got rid of the angle.
Yeah.
And I thank them for that.
Well, let me say the one thing that I saw happen that did make sense is they realized that they still have this guy under contract and that they might use him again, so they didn't show you his face.
Exactly.
So they're not typecasting him, as it were, so that you saw, oh, that's the Imposter Kane.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that, I mean, that is a plus.
Good,
I mean,
little detail.
You know, that makes sense, yeah.
So, Les, you had went with Kane on that match, and I went with the Imposter Kane, decided to be a little, you know, a little rebellious. But I got the point for that.
Yes, you did.
Next up was Foley versus Flair, 2 out of 3 falls, technical classic masterpiece.
Excuse me. And you need to be drug tested if you. I, you know what? I didn't see it, and what little I heard, I'm glad I didn't see it. I have too much respect for both these people, and you can't. Those two guys can't have a one fall match that makes sense in 7 minutes, and they damn sure can't do three falls or two falls, as it were. And I don't know. Was the idea to go out and see how bad they can stink the joint out? Was that the deal? I mean,
Foley said he was going to do.
Huh?
That's what Foley said he was going
to
do.
Well, by God, Mick didn't lie to him, I guess. You know, but I wish he had. I mean, really. I just, you know, when I say that in all sincerity, I respect both of those guys, and you know, it's just, if that's the best they got, man, then please, to preserve their image, hang it up.
Yeah, a lot of that, none of that made sense. You know, I'm trying to have some sense of positivity.
Well, you know what?
About
it was
this,
it was hastily thrown together, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it wasn't even there was no build up to it, and I think, you know, I don't care again if it goes back to God and Pontius Pilate, you know, or Jesus Christ and Pontius Pilate. Unless you build up, so it's not going to mean a lot either,
right?
You know, but again, to give these two guys who, well, see and hear again, I think, and I know where this show is. We're on the internet. But the truth is, the internet didn't make the world.
Right.
You can't play, and if I were booking, and I hope we don't lose any listeners because of this, sorry, guys and girls, I'm not going to play to you. I'm going to play to what makes sense, and you either buy in or you move on. You know what? And if you move on, then there's somebody else that's not going to. Mm-hmm. I've been around too long. It's just that's silly, you know. And I think they think everybody read the book. They know what we're talking. No, they don't. The average wrestling fan has no idea that this show exists, that Dave Meltzer's out there, that there's an Observer or a Torch or a Figure Four Weekly.
Right.
The average wrestling fan is just that. They don't live it and breathe it like we do.
Right.
You know, so to think that that because, you know, well, everybody read Mick's and Rick's book. No, they didn't. You know, and it was just, again, both of these guys, regardless, there is, yeah, obviously a clash in styles, but I think Foley can adjust to that as can Flair. And you know what? Here's the other thing. When you talk about the clash in styles, if you backtrack and look, and again, if we're talking, don't you know that the guys from that came just a little ahead of me, like, well, we were talking earlier, like Fez or somebody like that, what do you think their opinion of Ric Flair was? He was a showman.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And he is, and a damn good one for that, as far as that's concerned. But that's my point is, you know, things change.
Yes.
So, yeah, what Foley brought to the table and with his strength would not have cut the mustard when I was between 1960 and 1980 when I was, you know, wrestling. But that doesn't mean it doesn't cut it today. You know, I still hold on to some of the old school stuff, and I think rightly so, because, again, I'll reiterate, some things should not change and don't, actually. But you also have to adjust with the times.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You had went with Flair on this one. I had went with Foley. This is where I really started to rebel against you and started picking everything you didn't. Of course, Flair won 2 falls to none, and that was that. You got the point for that. Randy Orton versus Kurt Angle was also it was a good match, in my opinion.
Well, you know, see, and I heard different views on that, too. Well, again, you know, there's the other thing, too. You can't, what do you expect out of Kurt Angle? What do you expect out of Randy Orton? Well, you expect a lot.
Yes.
But then you can't always, what kind of physical shape are these guys in at this point? And when I say that, I'm not so much asking the listeners or you as well, but I'm asking myself as well because I don't know. You
mm-hmm.
know, so what can you expect? I know some of the reviews I read weren't extremely favorable. I shouldn't say that. They expected more, let me say it that way.
Right.
You know, which I understand. You know, it's like, you know, you expect Barry Bonds to hit, and he's not hitting. But we know why he's not hitting.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But we can't say the same thing about why this match wasn't 4 stars or 3 stars or whatever, however many stars it's supposed to be, you know. I don't know. It's... But I now Angle, it's Angle and Van Damme tonight, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm interested because there's a clash to me. And Angle is going to have to modify his style to work with Van Damme.
Yeah.
And if you're a Van Damme fan, don't send me poison pen letters or anything. I don't give a damn.
Right.
When I say that, and I'll say it out loud. My only problem with Rob Van Dam is he has one match, and that's the match I see. That would be my problem with him if I were a booker. Say what you like, but Helmsley or Michaels or Benoit or Angle or so-and-so or whoever can alter their styles to fit with other people, so you're going to see them work with more people. I think up to this point, one of the reasons Van Dam has not, and you've heard him publicly say that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That there's that glass ceiling. Well, for him, I understand the glass ceiling, but I also see now that he's got his own stage to perform on with ECW. A, B, there's been a lot of injuries, a lot of guys are out, and so you go with the warm bodies you got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's in the right place at the right time, and he's getting a better shot at it now. But I think this is the time for him to step up and show that he can alter his style and work with a more diverse group of guys.
Group of guys, yeah.
Yeah.
Angle did not come out the victor on the pay-per-view. It was Randy Orton. You had went with Orton. I had went with Angle, of course, and you got the point on that one. Next match was Johnny Nitro, Shelton Benjamin, and Carlito. Of course, Nitro came out the victor in that, which is kind of surprising to me, but you and I had both went with Benjamin.
What surprised me about Nitro at this point in time was the way they were beating him when he came in onto Raw, you know. Not that I expected him to beat him like a drum for the rest of his life or anything, but
right.
I just didn't think that, you know, that quickly they would reverse field on it. But,
right.
Of course, you know what the good point of that is, and this is something I tell them. A lot of the kids that do our clinics and camps is in this day and age of all the smart smart marks, you've got you've got to learn to improvise, and you have got to think past the head of your little thing to surprise people, because that's the main element that you have at your disposal is surprise, and so they did surprise you.
Yes.
And you were glad, cause, which means you'll see more of Melina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of like it when my pick doesn't come out right, because it is surprising to me, and that's part of the experience.
Well, you know, it's like I told you back last year when I thought Charmel was going to turn on Book. And when they did the turn on Benoit, I was excited. I mean, I, you know, up here in front of my own TV without anybody to talk to about it, I got excited because they conned me, which is, I like that, you know.
Next match was Cena and Sabu. They didn't con anybody. We both went with Cena on that one, and Cena ended up the victor, making Sabu tap out to the STFU.
Yeah.
Not much to say about that one. And also the main event, of course, DX versus the Spirit Squad. I went with DX. You had went with the Spirit Squad. DX ends up with the win.
You know what? I'm amazed. And when I say amazed, I mean that exactly, that the Spirit Squad has any heat whatsoever.
I know.
And what I mean, because and it's like, it's not that I think these kids don't have any talent. But when you outgun somebody 5-3 or 5-2,
and still can't win,
you look like pretty scrap to me. I don't know what you look like to anybody else. But,
exactly.
Not a
good career booster.
No, it's not. But see, there again, and we can get into this later if you want. It's become a parody. You know. I don't know what anybody takes WWE seriously. And when I say that, I say it in total sadness. I don't say it, they don't take them serious anymore. I wish they did.
Yeah.
I wish they did.
So actually, Les, and I had thought that you had won this game because of the Flair and the Orton thing, but I came out ahead in points 4-3. So, once again, Doc is the victor.
You are the man. What can I say, Doc?
In the pay-per-view prediction game. Let's move on to Raw. And I had some thoughts last night on Raw. And I was watching this Diva Search thing.
Yeah, I had some thoughts on Raw, Doc says. And we start with the Diva Search.
Yes, sir,
I know what those
search
thoughts were, Doc. And we can't express them here. We may have a mixed crowd. I'm not sure. Okay? So, try to keep your... You and Jerry Lawler.
The Diva Search bothers me, though. I'll tell you that.
It really bothers me.
And I was thinking about, why does it bother me? There's, like, hot girls there.
Because you can't stand up after you watch it? Is that the reason?
No.
Okay.
You know, there's hot girls and everything, and I should be enjoying this, but it bothers me. It bothers me that it's on wrestling. And I thought about it, and I figured out why it bothers me less.
Okay.
Because I'm not the judge.
Oh, well, see, it's not because it's on wrestling. It could be on bowling, and you'd still be bothered by it.
I am jealous of The Miz.
For my money, The Miz is the greatest. He's got more heat with me than any of the heels in that company, I'll tell you right now. He's a pain in the ass.
He's just annoying to you, huh?
Huh?
He's just annoying to you.
He annoys the hell out of me. Yes, yes, he does. And not in a good way. It's like, please go away way. It's not, God, I can't wait to see him get his own,
right.
Now they can put him with a fake cane if they'd like and send him on out the door.
Throw him out the back door. Miz is just standing there.
I would only hope that his in-ring performance would be a tad better than, but see, he was, that's the other thing, too. I talked to a couple ex-wrestlers today, and we kicked this around. This whole, I don't know who's having a problem with their own sexuality in that company. That they continue, I mean, penis jokes, toilet giant.
Yeah,
it's quite childish, and believe me, I've been out of junior high school a while. It doesn't do anything for me. And if it does for you, then I guess God bless you, or check your psychiatrist, I don't know which, but here we go again. I expect logic, and somebody's got to... Now, I know how DX was able to dump the green stuff on the Spirit Squad last week, because you know what? It's amazing, but wrestlers end up in the ring at some point. Hey,
right.
Even I know that. What doesn't... what you can explain to me, and I'll give you a dollar if you can at any point in time, is how they knew that Vince and Shane... And the Spirit Squad would end up in that one spot on the ramp, and they dumped whatever the hell it is that they dumped on them. You know, I'm not going to say it's what they want me to say because I know better.
Doesn't make sense, but Here's the thing I thought of. Because I knew you would come on the show and say this, so I had to think of a scenario. Now, as you can see, when the show was live, and Vince says, "What is that over there? What is that?" They never showed what it was. After the commercial break, when they came back, then they showed the porta potty, and they only showed one of them. There was supposed to be two of them.
How do you know there's supposed to be two?
Because the thing was, when they came back, JR said it.
Oh.
He said these two porta potties were lowered from the ceiling to the ramp. Now, here's my thing is, if they had gone to the ring, then they could have lowered the porta potties from the ceiling to the ring or wherever they were at. Is that good?
Well, no, that still doesn't tell me how that whatever it was dropped out of the ceiling. That has nothing to do with the porta potties. So, no, it's not a good example.
I tried.
I'm sorry, Doc. No, you didn't score any points with me on
that. How long was the whole DX promo? 20 minutes last night?
It seemed like years.
It was.
But you know, here, when I say this, I'm a fan of DX.
Mm-hmm.
I was a fan of DX. But if you're going to run it into the ground for me, I won't be for very long.
Right.
And that skit last night wasn't all that funny.
No.
I have to agree with you. It was like one of these deals where it's open mic night at the Comedy Store, and whoever this guy is needs the hook because he's been out there too long.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
There's nothing worse, and I've probably done it myself, there's nothing worse than the guy who thinks he's funny and isn't. You know, and that was last night was pretty much the case.
Let's say that for the sake of argument, that promo was 20 minutes. It was about 16, 17 minutes too long, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, you know, it's like Michaels, because I'll say this, and again, it's not a personal issue, it's a business thing I'm talking
right.
about here. Shane McMahon is an adult with gray in his temples.
Right.
What the frig is he dancing around like a jackass for? excuse me, but it's not entertaining. It's stupid for a grown-up. I mean, if he were the Miz, I would understand that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's not the Miz. And I thought making fun of that made sense to me. But not for an hour.
Exactly.
You know?
If he would have done it once or twice, fine. That
yeah.
was funny. If Triple H would have cut the setup to his Richard joke in half.
The whole thing was just.
They just spent
me,
too
God.
Long punching the same joke over and over. And over.
And you know, here's another thing. I would assume that a lot of people know that he and Stephanie are married. And if I told a secret here, then it's only because you've been in East Afghanistan for the last 5 years and don't know what the hell we're talking about. But see, you might as well, you know, are you trying to sell me to suspend my disbelief when you say something like that?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Right.
You absolutely are not. You are, you know, because we're in on that particular joke, right?
Right.
And it just, again, it's,
The fans did, I'll tell you, they did react over that. They do like being part of the inside joke. But it just reminds you that, you know, we're not Triple H, we're not Shawn Michaels. You're watching a show.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, because of the fan and because of who Shawn and Hunter are, they're going to get more mic time. They're going to get not necessarily a good thing. You know,
right.
We're going to push this, and by God, you will like it, or we'll know the reason why.
Or we'll do it again.
Well, see, I agree with Meltzer. Made the comment that. God, you're over pushing. I think I said the same thing last week, and I think it's like, come on, save me, save some of this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's.
But I got to tell you what, though, the whole 20 minutes and the whole Richard jokes and the whole poop flying from it was all worth it to see Vince McMahon one more time sing Stand Back. Woo!
Hey, you know what, though? When I saw him do that initially, when I was interviewed for the Mr. McMahon DVD, I told the interviewer, the producer, I said, when I saw that, I realized Vince had gone to all this work and bet the farm, as it were, had the first wrestling, so he could do what the hell he wanted.
Exactly.
You know? And you know what? I think if I put the mortgage of my house on the line to do something and it pans out, then I've earned the right to do whatever the hell I want to, whether Vince likes it or not. So, you know, again, it's not with me. It's not a. I'm not being vindictive or anything. I have no reason to be. It's just that that's not my cup of tea.
Right. And last thing before we get out of here and get D'Lo on, you like details and, you know, little things that make sense. I thought of you when Orton walked out the first match after the whole poop incident and was like, what is that smell?
And you know what? That's the one thing that both of these ex-wrestlers I spoke with today made comments about. And, yes, I did catch that.
And no one else did that but Orton.
Yeah, but God bless him for thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know? But here's the other thing. Now, you want to talk about details?
Friend.
When JR and Horny towed their the king, Jerry,
right.
Who's never seen a naked woman, and he's over 50 years old, for Christ's sake, when they were trying to get that across, I wanted to say to the director, who I know has a lot of pull there, Kevin Dunn,
right.
Kevin, get a grip on reality. You're asking them to sell something. Look at the people behind them. They're not grimacing and holding their noses because if JR and the king are smelling it, then shouldn't those people be smelling it as well?
Right.
See, you can't, if everybody's done it on a joke, then you can't sell me the joke.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it's like, what is the show on the MTV? You've been
punked.
Punked, right, yeah. Everybody's in on a joke, otherwise it doesn't get over, right?
Right.
Okay. That's kind of rule of thumb in the real world. And like I say, WWP is cool. World Wrestling Parody. No, I the sad thing is there's a lot of good talent there. They're just not utilized. There was almost some wrestling last night. I'll tell you another thing real quick, and then we'll get my adopted son on here. I laughed when, and believe me, Tori Wilson's a very attractive young lady. It's not like I'm adverse to seeing her. She had less clothes on when she came out to look at the unveiling. I still don't understand what the hell the unveiling of that cover was about. You know, because she had less clothes on than the cover.
Right.
You know. So I'm thinking, shouldn't she have been covered up? And we looked at the magazine, and here's Tori. You know, I'm sorry. It's, again, I, you know, if I were 12, maybe this would all be entertaining to me.
Right.
But I'm not.
And a lot of people said, oh, I loved last night. I loved DX. Well, now you've just heard us complain about it for about 20, 30 minutes, so that's good enough.
You know, I like it too, but see, if you do every sight joke in the friggin' world in the first 2 weeks, then what's left?
Right.
You know, I will say this. I read some reviews where people say, well, the bait and switch because of the – I thank God they didn't put the McMahons with these guys because when they first announced that, I thought, oh, Jesus, already?
Yeah.
I mean, that's so over the top, too. I mean, it's like Marvin Lewis here at the Bengals, the head coach of the Bengals, telling Carson Palmer, don't you go out there. I'll go out and finish this game up and do it the right way. Wait a minute, Shane, you're talking to professional wrestlers, and you're a professional businessman.
Right.
I don't care how stupid you dance, right? I mean, that's just, there's no logic to that, and I'm sorry. Do I use that word too often, logic?
Yeah.
And common sense? Yeah, I probably do. You know what?
But
it's essential. And I pray to God every night that someone else starts using it in this business, too.
We're going to take a break, guys. We've got D'Lo Brown coming up on the show. Stick around. It's Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young. And Les Thatcher. We'll be right back after this.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW.
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw.
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
The revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW.
Hi, my name is Adam Nadelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio.
I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Doc Young, Les Thatcher, here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our featured guest this week, Les Thatcher's baby boy, D'Lo Brown.
I love the way that sounds. What's going on, boys?
He was asking me, he said, I read those emails where he called his father and son. I said, well, you know, there's a bond in this business that you outsiders just don't understand.
Yeah, we go way back, and when you know somebody for, you know, as long as we have, God, almost 12 years now, you tend to be family, and not just you don't say it, you actually mean it. So I can call Les father, and he can call me son, and it's all good.
And we probably, in the heat of battle, call each other other things, too, but we won't mention.
Yeah, there have been some sons of other things, too, but we'll leave that for another day, another conversation.
Exactly. You're headed for Japan in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, I'm headed off January 21st. I'm going back over for All Japan.
Cool.
That's pretty much where I've been the last 3 years.
Right, you're not doing a lot of stuff in the States when you come back, right?
I mean, No, because, you know, the Japan scales are so hard, I'm gone for either 2 or 3 weeks. When I get home, I just want to spend the rest of the time with my family and, you know, try to be as good of a father as I possibly can be. And, you know, I'm still working on being a good husband part. So,
well, you know what? In our business, it's tough working at both of those.
It's really difficult. This business is not built for someone who's in a strong, you know, just a marriage or a committed relationship. It's because, you know, there's so much time away, and there's this and then that is that, and it's a very difficult business to maintain by cell phone and email and, you know, 15-20 hour time differences. It's difficult. It takes a very strong relationship.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned the last 3 years. Part of the reason is it's been basically Japan for you is TNA. You were working for TNA, and then they kind of said, well, we want you to give up the Japanese tours and just mm-hmm. concentrate on being a part of this. With the inconvenience that we just talked about, has it ever the thought ever occurred, maybe I should have done that, or do you feel better where you're at now?
I feel better where I'm at now. I really believe that there's a trade-off, and I'm, you know, I'm treated properly. I'm treated a lot differently. In terms of booking, in terms of, you know, creative control, which everyone strives for in this business for some reason. You know, you look back and what you've done, choices you've made. Do I regret leaving TNA? No. Would I ever go back there? Hey, anything's possible.
Sure.
Well,
now that Corny's there.
Hey, it's almost like Smoky Mountain again.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
So I heard that the Japanese fans are a little bit differently. Like, they love to be part of the show, and if you're a heel over there, they actually take it as a compliment if you punch them.
You know, that started with the old Stan Hansen thing, where he would come out with his bullwhip and just swing it, and the fans there knew he was coming up with his bullwhip, but they would run to the door in hopes of getting hit with his bullwhip, and they'd run around and scream in Japanese, oh my God, I can't believe I just got hit by Stan Hansen's bullwhip. So, a little crazy mentality. I don't know if I want to get hit with a whip like that. Or
is it still like that over there?
Oh, yeah, it's still like that. There's a heel over there named Taru who comes out with this S&M whip. and he runs through the crowd, and they stand there, and some guys take it across the back. I run when he comes towards me, so just call me a punk.
You know what? I just saw Stan for the first time in years in Mobile at the Gulf Coast reunion in March, and I said, Slim Hansen. He said, nobody's ever called me that. He must be down, God, 60 pounds or more from what he was when he was working.
And, you know, the amazing thing about it, he's a last time I talked to him, he's a driver's ed teacher. And these 16-year-old kids have no clue what is sitting next to them, teaching them how to drive. All they look over and look at this thin old man with glasses and think, yeah, I could probably take him. Oh, my God, if you only knew.
Yeah.
Really, really.
So Japan's working out for you. Do you have any plans in the future to come back and be in America exclusively?
You know, like I said, things could happen tomorrow.
Right.
But as of this moment, no, I have no plans to come back to the States.
What American guys are going on this tour with you, D?
Bull Buchanan's always over there with me. Rosie, he's over on a tour right now, getting his feet wet in Japan. He should be on the next tour. And then there's a kid from Hawaii, which I don't think many American fans would know. His name is Tai Okea. Maybe the smarts out there would know who he is because
they're smart.
They're smart, and they get the Japanese videotapes. But that's pretty much the crew that we roll with all the time.
Oh, cool. You know, now Bull pretty much is working exclusively in Japan, is he not?
Yeah, he is pretty. He is pretty much. You know, he does little stuff around Georgia, but. Only if it's, you know, within, you know, hour, 2 hours of his house.
Right.
He's not going, you know, up to California for shows and stuff like that.
Right. And God bless him, Rosie lives 10 minutes from me. We never see him.
Yeah, you know, he's going to get booked a lot now coming off the heels in New York, and, you know, you got to love him. He's going out there to make some money, and you can't fault the guy for earning an income.
No. You were there, too. I've told people, I said, you know, they let him go, and I said, you know, the sad thing about that, he's a workhorse. I mean, he busts his butt, and you know, when he was here, he was always, he worked his butt off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my problem with running a company is there should be some payoff for that, too, but obviously there's not.
You know, and long ago, this business changed where hard work and desire kind of went the wayside for some unknown reason, and it seemed like the guys who can work and who have the desire and the passion to be there are beat down to the guys who are just trying to make a dollar and really don't have any passion about this business. And I don't know why that is or how it got that way, but I wish it would change.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, a lot of people don't know this. We've talked about this before when you were a guest on Wrestling Weekly, but early in your career, you were with Smoky Mountain, which,
mm-hmm.
of course, Les Thatcher and Jim Cornette were there. But you roomed with New Jack.
Yes, we did.
No.
Well, yes, I did, I should say. And in this house, I mean, we had a house called, you know, it was lovely called the Smoky Mountain Flop House. And in this house, myself, Snot Dudley, Balls Mahoney, Chris Jericho, Lance Storm, a young Kane when he was Unabomb, and New Jack would all crash. So this was the Smoky Mountain Flop House. But, yes, I've traveled up and down the highways, New Jack. I've stayed in the same hotels. I've done a couple unmentionable things I can't say on the radio with him. but, you know, a lot of people either you love Jack or you hate Jack. I happen to love Jack.
You know, I get along with it. You know, and people are amazed by that. But, you know, he's – and, you know, the other thing, D, that I've told me, I said a lot of people think – this is some dumb street punk, and that's where they take him wrong because
mm-hmm.
he's not dumb at all.
And that's the you know the misconception. They watch his gimmick and they think you know he's just an ignorant street punk like you said. But Jack is a very smart and sly person, and he's very witty. He may not let it on all the way, or he may keep it under wraps until it needs to be let out. But he's a smart guy.
Yeah, very educated.
Jericho tells a story about when Balls moved out, that when they picked the box spring up, the mattress up off the box spring, he had there was dried and rotting food
on
the box spring.
Oh, my God.
And there was about 300 friends with a bunch of legs running around. There was a colony living under there. And not to say anything bad about Balls, but Woo, that was pretty bad.
To say he lives his gimmick would be the truth.
You know what? He lives his gimmick, and there's no fault in that.
Yeah, on a... Yeah, they talk about bringing back ECW and stuff. I'd like to see Smoky Mountain come back. I just I wish for the good old days, because I loved Smoky Mountain back in the day. And Al Snow and Unabomb, of course, Kane, were my favorite tag team back then. All the greats really started back there.
I actually had ironically had the same conversation with Barry Buchanan not too long ago, and we said, man, wouldn't it be great just to have one time in Knoxville a Smoky Mountain reunion, and think of the guys you could have on the show. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. It's almost like a who's who of what the, you know, early 2000s, you know, late 90s, you know, WWE was. Mm-hmm. And here would be all these guys just coming in and rolling in.
Yeah.
And I would love to be a part of that.
You know what, JR and I had this conversation a few years ago, and although God knows Jim's making more money than money makes now, he said that, you know, It was more simple. I mean, less pressure. We had fun, and it was just a good time.
Well, mm-hmm. You know, and you had a bunch of guys who were working just to have fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did a TV show, and of course we were running the territory, but, man, it was a bunch of guys just, we had more fun in the ring than I think the fans did. and that made it more special for the fans. And you know, I'm not trying to sound like I'm an old timer. I'm trying to live in the past. But Smoky Mountain was one of the best places I ever had the privilege of working.
Yeah, it was. You know, I read excerpts from an interview that you've done here in the last few weeks, where you were talking, and that brings up another guy who I'm going to ask you. You probably see some Chaz Warrington. He when the Headbangers were there, but you were saying that probably one of the down periods in your career was when you and Chaz were with Tiger Jet Singh.
Yeah, I mean, that you know, I've had some real down moments in my career, but, you know, in the ring, that was probably the lowest character and time I ever had to deal with. And it wasn't because of Chaz. It was just, you know, Chaz is my boy, and I still talk to him now. We actually had this conversation today in the gym. It was just a really bad idea.
Is he living in Florida now?
Yeah, he lives about 10, 15 minutes away from me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I talked to him. I just, like I said, I was just in the gym today with him.
Good. Well, you tell him I said hello.
I will definitely do that.
What has happened to his partner? Has he just fallen off face of the earth?
From what I understand, he ballooned up to about 350. He's married to another woman, and he just has odd jobs. He was working at, you know, some hardware stores and managing a strip club or something like that, and then he just kind of fell off.
Wow. That's a shame.
Yeah.
That was a unique thing that Cornette came up with, the whole headbanger thing with the skirts.
Yeah, that was a really good concept, and it was really, you know, could have been used in a lot longer and a lot better. It was really a really good gimmick and really captivated and got people's attention.
Yeah.
I mean, at one point, Chaz had about 9 or 10 action figures out, you know, and he was packaged with Steve Austin. So, I mean, that kind of tells you how good the character was.
Yeah. Rhode Island Red says, could you explain the differences between your time in TNA and your time in WWE? How are they different?
Different atmosphere, different locker room. Such a large company. The WWE is the machine, the biggest, you know, company out there. And when you're there, there's a sense of pressure. You know, when you go out there, the lights come on, there's how many millions of people watching you, and you have to go out there and perform at your highest. TNA is a little more laid back, and it's got that Smoky Mountain feel where it's just a bunch of guys just out there having fun and enjoying what they're doing and putting on a good product.
Okay, I got another one. You knew this one had to come up. I was trying to skip it. Of course, everybody knows that you had an accident with Draws.
Yes.
A while back, and we don't really need to rehash the whole thing. But they want to know if you think your status in WWE suffered because of that.
No, I don't, because probably about 6 months after that happened, I got re-signed to a larger contract than I already had. If I thought my status was suffered, I don't think they would have re-signed me at that point.
Absolutely.
You know, they re-upped me for 3 years. 6 months after it happened, and probably tripled my pay. I don't think, I, you know, I really don't think that that had anything. I mean, who knows? But I just don't think it had anything to do with it.
Now, from my time and getting to know you here and there in our experiences, we are connoisseurs of redheads. Does Christy Hemme factor into your decision to maybe go back to TNA one day?
No, because my wife would kick my ever-loving tail. So, no, not one bit.
I had to bring that up.
Yeah, it's a great shot in the dark, and it may be in another life, but no, not now.
He's getting too old for that, Doc.
Yeah, I'm way too old for that now. Way too old. The apologizing is getting too old, and I don't know how to do it anymore. I'm
yeah.
Too old.
Exactly. TNA for Life says, what's your opinion about BG James and Kip James working for TNA? Do you think they are as good now as when they were in WWE?
I think they're as entertaining as they were, as you know, has ever been. But to say are they as good now, I mean, who knows? I mean, everyone gets older and everyone loses a step. I know I've lost several. But they're still as entertaining. I mean, listen to Road Dogg, or BG, I'm sorry, let me not get copyright infringement there, to hear Brian go out there and talk on the mic and to watch Billy go out there and work his ass off. They look as good as they have ever have.
Absolutely. Woody says, did you enjoy working for Irish Whip Wrestling? And what do you think of Ireland?
Irish Whip Wrestling was really, really fun because the arena is so small and the fans are right on top of you. It is fun as hell. And then afterwards, I had 22 pints of Guinness, so I love Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
I love Ireland.
Do they have Coors Light over there?
No, they think that's like, you know, piss water.
Yeah, I believe that. You're a big gamer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any new games lately? What are you into right now?
My platform of choice now is the PSP.
Because it's mobile.
It's mobile, and for 3 years I took my Xbox, carried my Xbox Japan, and I hate having to get it checked and screened and then setting it up. So PSP is a new thing. I play that all the time. I've got a ton of games for it. So PSP is my thing right now.
What are your favorite games that you're using right now on there?
I'm a big fan of the Hitman series, big fan of like SOCOM. I like the first-person shooter games.
Yeah, the stealth games.
Yeah, what do I have upstairs? Splinter Cell, What did I just get? Splinter Cell. Just got Splinter Cell for it. You know, I just went and traded in some games and got Splinter Cell, so I can't wait to play that on the airplane. But, yeah, I'm really into, like, the spy, stealth, first-person shooter.
Excellent. Those things play DVDs, right?
Yeah, they have little, it's not DVDs, it's same as the PSP, but you can watch movies on it.
Ah, okay.
And I actually have, you know, here I am, I'm the cool upgrade guy. I actually have a PSP from Japan. It's a Japanese PSP.
Oh.
And it's white. The whole game is white as opposed to the black one here.
Right.
And so I can play Japanese and American games on my PSP.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that's pretty. So I get the cool Japanese wrestling games.
Are you getting all this, Les?
No, I don't understand a damn thing.
Let's go back to redheads. Les has got that one.
Oh, yeah. Miss Destiny said, what was your first job, D'Lo?
In wrestling or just in general?
I assume your first job in general.
I pushed shopping carts at the age of 13 at a place called Jewel Tees in Burlington, New Jersey.
Wow.
Yeah, push shop.
He's also a certified CPA.
Yeah, but that was later on. That's a whole other life.
Right. Are you still doing any of that?
No, not at all. I'm doing my own taxes.
I
am so far out of the tax game, I'd have to get a whole new degree to practice again.
Yeah, that's the bad part about those kind of things. I was about to send you my taxes, but...
If you sent them, you might get audited before I even fill them out.
Well, we're running out of time, D'Lo. I want to thank you for being on. I know it was pretty short, but we just had to rant about Raw last night, and we couldn't stop ourselves.
Well, how bad was it?
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
It was a parody of itself, basically.
Yeah, it was. There were some funny things on it. It's just that they went too long about it, and you know, they went on too long. They kept beating a dead horse all night. It was pretty bad.
Well.
But, well, there's always next week.
There's always next week, and the beauty is everyone's going to watch.
Absolutely. D'Lo, I want to thank you for being on. Have a good, safe trip back to Japan, and stay healthy out there, and we'll have you on again soon when you come back to the States.
Appreciate it, guys. Whenever you need me, you know how to get a hold of me.
Be sure to give Jen and the baby a hug for us, and we love you guys.
You know I will. I love you back, Les. Talk to you later. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. D'Lo Brown here on Wrestling Weekly. It's going to wrap things up, guys. Don't forget, check out WrestlingWeekly.com. Of course, there's LesThatcher.com and EPWT.com, which will be updated soon.
Yes, and there's also now GourmetCoffeeShack.com.
Gourmet
My wife and I, yes.
A new sponsor to the show.
If you're drinking coffee, try to. It is good. I'm a big coffee drinker, and some of the best that I've tasted. That's one of the reasons we're kind of getting into it as an internet business.
Excellent.
We should remind the fans that we are not doing a show next Tuesday because of the holiday.
Right.
But we will be back the following week, right?
Yes, July 11th. So be here and keep checking out WrestlingWeekly.com and see who our next guests are. We're out of here. For the East Coast fans, enjoy ECW. It's starting right now. For the West Coast fans and all around the world, the Irish Whip is coming up next here on the Wrestling Radio Network. We'll see you guys next week.